Chapter 26, Personal Protective Equipment, Product Control, and Decontamination. Chapter Objectives. Describe respiratory protection used at hazardous materials incidents. Explain types of protective clothing worn at hazardous materials incidents. Describe personal protective equipment ensembles used during hazardous materials incidents. Explain PPE-related stresses. Describe procedures for safely using PPE. Identify procedures for inspection, storage, testing, maintenance, and documentation of PPE. Describe methods of spill control. Describe methods of leak control. Differentiate between gross decontamination and emergency decontamination. Skill Sheet 26-1, select appropriate PPE to address a hazardous material scenario. Skill Sheet 26-2, don, work in, undergo decontamination, and doff a level C ensemble. Skill Sheet 26-3, don, work in, undergo decontamination, and doff liquid splash protective clothing. Skill Sheet 26-4, don, work in, undergo decontamination, and doff vapor protective clothing. Skill Sheet 26-5, perform absorption slash adsorption. Skill Sheet 26-6, perform damming. Skill Sheet 26-7, perform diking operations. Skill Sheet 26-8, perform diversion. Skill Sheet 26-9, perform retention. Skill Sheet 26-10, perform vapor suppression. Skill Sheet 26-11, perform vapor dispersion. Skill Sheet 26-12, perform dilution. Skill Sheet 26-13, perform remote valve shutoff or activate emergency shutoff device. Skill Sheet 26-14, perform gross decontamination. Skill Sheet 26-15, perform emergency decontamination. This chapter will explain the following topics. Respiratory protection. Types of protective clothing. PPE ensembles. PPE related stress. PPE use. Classification, selection, inspection, testing, and maintenance of PPE. Product control, including spill and leak control. Gross and emergency decontamination. Now, what? Let's get learning. Lesson 1. Outcomes. Describe respiratory protection used at hazardous materials incidents. Respiratory protection. Respiratory protection is a primary concern for first responders because inhalation is the most significant route of entry for hazardous materials. When correctly worn and used, protective breathing equipment protects the body from inhaling hazardous substances. Respiratory protection is, therefore, a vital part of any personal protective equipment, PPE, ensemble used at HAZMAT/WMD incidents, Figure 26.1. Responders use the following basic types of protective breathing equipment at HAZMAT/WMD incidents. Self-contained breathing apparatus, SCBA. Closed circuit SCBA. Open circuit SCBA. Supplied air respirators, SARs. Air purifying respirators, APRs. Particulate removing. Vapor and gas removing. Combination particulate and vapor and gas removing. Powered air purifying respirators, PAPRs. Each type of respiratory protection equipment has limits to its capabilities. For example, open circuit self-contained breathing apparatus, SCBA, offers a limited working duration based upon the quantity of air, CSCBA section, contained within the apparatus cylinder. You may also need to be familiar with powered air hoods, escape respirators, and combined respirators depending on what PPE you are issued. The sections that follow describe respiratory equipment, including basic limitations, as well as international standards for respiratory protection. Standards for respiratory protection at HAZMAT/WMD incidents. Canada. The Canadian government has adopted standards developed by the Canadian Standards Association, CSA, and Health Canada for respiratory equipment to protect responders at HAZMAT/WMD incidents. These standards have been developed due to the extreme hazards associated with chemical, such as military nerve agents, biological, radioactive, and nuclear materials that could be used in terrorist attacks. Health Canada also certifies SCBA and recommends ways for responders to select and use protective clothing and respirators at biological incidents. The United States. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has adopted standards developed by the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH, and the NFPA for respiratory equipment to protect responders at hazmat/WMD incidents. These standards have been developed because of the extreme hazards associated with chemical, such as military nerve agents, biological, radioactive, and nuclear materials that could be used in terrorist attacks. NIOSH also certifies SCBA and recommends ways for responders to select and use protective clothing and respirators at biological incidents. International. Depending on their location, responders may also need to be familiar with standards regarding respiratory equipment issued by the International Standards Organization, ISO, the European Union, or other authorities. Self-contained breathing apparatus, SCBA. Self-contained breathing apparatus, SCBA, is an atmosphere-supplying respirator for which the user carries the breathing air supply. SCBA is perhaps the most important piece of PPE a responder can wear at a hazmat incident in terms of preventing dangerous exposures to harmful substances. NIOSH classifies SCBA as either closed circuit or open circuit. Two types of SCBA are currently being manufactured in closed or open circuit designs: pressure demand or positive pressure. SCBA may also be either a high or low pressure type. Only positive pressure open or closed circuit SCBA is allowed at incidents where personnel are potentially exposed to hazardous materials, Figure 26.2. The advantages of using open circuit SCBA type respiratory protection are: independence, maneuverability, protection from toxic and/or asphyxiating atmospheres. Several disadvantages are: weight of the units, open and closed circuit. SCBA have maximum air supply durations that limit the amount of time a first responder has to perform the tasks at hand. Change in profile that may hinder mobility because of the configuration of the harness assembly and the location of the air cylinder. Limited vision caused by facepiece fogging. Limited communications if the facepiece is not equipped with a microphone or speaking diaphragm. Supplied air respirators. The supplied air respirator, SAR, or airline respirator is an atmosphere-supplying respirator where the user does not carry the breathing air source. The apparatus usually consists of the following, Figure 26.3. Facepiece. Belt or facepiece-mounted regulator. Voice communication system. Up to 300 feet, 90 meters, of air supply hose. Emergency escape pack or emergency breathing support system, EBSS. Breathing air source, either cylinders mounted on a cart or a portable breathing air compressor. Because of the potential for damage to the air supply hose, the EBSS provides enough air, usually 5, 10, or 15 minutes worth, for the user to escape a hazardous atmosphere. SAR apparatus are not certified for firefighting operations because of the potential damage to the airline from heat, fire, or debris. NIOSH classifies SARs as Type C respirators. Type C respirators are further divided into two approved types. One type consists of a regulator and facepiece only. The second type consists of a regulator, facepiece, and EBSS, and may also be referred to as a SAR with escape, egress, capabilities. The second type is used in confined space environments, IDLH environments, or potential IDLH environments. Any type of SAR used at hazmat or CBR incidents must provide positive pressure to the facepiece. SAR apparatus have the advantage of reducing physical stress to the wearer by removing the weight of the SCBA. The air supply line is a limitation because of the potential for mechanical or heat damage. In addition, the length of the airline, no more than 300 feet, 90 m, from the air source, restricts mobility. Problems with hose entanglement must also be addressed. Other limitations are the same as those for SCBA, restricted vision and communications. Air purifying respirators. Air purifying respirators, APRs, contain an air purifying filter, canister, or cartridge that removes specific contaminants found in ambient air as it passes through the air purifying element. Based on which cartridge, canister, or filter is being used, these purifying elements are generally divided into the three following types. Particulate removing APRs. Vapor and gas removing APRs. Combination particulate removing and vapor and gas removing APRs. APRs may be powered, PAPRs, or non-powered. APRs do not supply oxygen or air from a separate source, and they protect only against specific contaminants at or below certain concentrations, figure 26.4. Combination filters combine particulate removing elements with vapor and gas removing elements in the same cartridge or canister. Respirators with air purifying filters may have either full face pieces that provide a complete seal to the face and protect the eyes, nose, and mouth, or half face pieces that provide a complete seal to the face and protect the nose and mouth. Half face respirators will not protect against CBR materials that can be absorbed through the skin or eyes and therefore are not recommended for use at hazmat/WMD incidents except in very specific situations. Explosive attacks where the primary hazard is dust or particulates. Disposable filters, canisters, or cartridges are mounted on one or both sides of the face piece. Canister or cartridge respirators pass the air through a filter, sorbent, catalyst, or combination of these items to remove specific contaminants from the air. The air can enter the system either from the external atmosphere through the filter or sorbent, or when the user's exhalation combines with a catalyst to provide breathable air. No single canister, filter, or cartridge protects against all chemical hazards. Therefore, you must know the hazards present in the atmosphere in order to select the appropriate canister, filter, or cartridge. Responders should be able to answer the following questions before deciding to use APRs for protection at an incident. What is the hazard? What is the oxygen level? Is the hazard a vapor or a gas? Is the hazard a particle or dust? Is there some combination of dust and vapors present? What concentrations are present? Does the material have a taste or smell? APRs do not protect against oxygen-deficient or oxygen-enriched atmospheres, and they must not be used in situations where the atmosphere is immediately dangerous to life and health, IDLH. APRs can only be used if the hazardous material has a taste or smell. The three primary limitations of an APR are as follows. Limited life of its filters and canisters. Need for constant monitoring of the contaminated atmosphere. Need for a normal oxygen content of the atmosphere before use. Take the following precautions before using APRs. Know what chemicals/air contaminants are in the air. Know how much of the chemicals/air contaminants are in the air. Ensure that the oxygen level is between 19.5 and 23.5%. Ensure that atmospheric hazards are below IDLH conditions. At hazmat/WMD incidents, APRs may be used after the hazards at the scene have been properly identified. In some circumstances, APRs may also be used in other situations, law enforcement working perimeters of the scene or EMS/medical personnel, and escape situations. APRs used for these CBRN situations should utilize a combination organic vapor/high-efficiency particulate air, OV/HEPA, cartridge, see the sections that follow. Particulate removing filters. Particulate filters protect the user from particulates, including biological hazards, in the air. These filters may be used with half-facepiece masks or full-facepiece masks. Eye protection must be provided when the full facepiece mask is not worn. Particulate removing filters are divided into 9 classes, 3 levels of filtration, 95, 99, and 99.97%, and 3 categories of filter degradation. The following 3 categories of filter degradation indicate the use limitations of the filter. N equals not resistant to oil. R equals resistant to oil. P equals present when oil or non-oil lubricants are used. Particulate removing filters may be used to protect against toxic dusts, mists, metal fumes, asbestos, and some biological hazards, figure 26.5. High-efficiency particulate air, HEPA, must be 99.97% efficient, while 95 and 99% effective filters may be used depending on the health risk hazard. Particle masks, also known as dust masks, are also classified as particulate-removing air purifying filters, figure 26.6. These disposable masks protect the respiratory system from large-sized particulates. Particle masks provide very limited protection and should not be used to protect against chemical hazards or small particles such as asbestos fibers. Vapor and gas removing filters. As the name implies, vapor and gas removing cartridges and canisters are designed to protect against specific vapors and gases. They typically use some kind of sorbent material to remove the targeted vapor or gas from the air. Individual cartridges and canisters are usually designed to protect against related groups of chemicals such as organic vapors or acid gases. Many manufacturers color code their canisters and cartridges so it is easy to see what contaminants the canister or cartridge is designed to protect against, figure 26.7. Manufacturers also provide information about contaminant concentration limitations. Powered air purifying respirators, PAPR. The PAPR uses a blower to pass contaminated air through a canister or filter to remove the contaminants and supply the purified air to the full facepiece. Because the facepiece is supplied with air under positive pressure, PAPRs offer a greater degree of safety than standard APRs in case of leaks or poor facial seals, figure 26.8. For this reason, PAPRs may be of use at HAZMAT/WMD incidents for personnel conducting decontamination operations and long-term operations. Airflow also makes PAPRs more comfortable to wear for many people. Several types of PAPR are available. Some units are supplied with a small blower and are battery-operated. The small size allows users to wear one on their belts. Other units have a stationary blower, usually mounted on a vehicle, that is connected by a long, flexible tube to the respirator facepiece. As with all APRs, PAPRs should only be used in situations where the atmospheric hazards are understood and at least 19.5% oxygen is present. PAPRs are not safe to wear in atmospheres where potential respiratory hazards are unidentified, nor should they be used during initial emergency operations before the atmospheric hazards have been confirmed. Continuous atmospheric monitoring is needed to ensure the safety of the responder. Combined respirators. Combination respirators include SAR/SCBA, PAPR/SCBA, and SAR/APR, figure 26.9. These respirators can provide flexibility and extend work duration times in hazardous areas. SAR/SCBAs will operate in either SAR or SCBA mode, for example, using SCBA mode for entry and exit while switching to SAR mode for extended work. PAPR/SCBA is a bulky combination. When using PAPR/SCBA combinations, it is necessary to know the composition of the atmosphere. The PAPR mode allows a longer operational period if conditions are safe for use. SAR/APRs will also operate in either mode, but the same limitations that apply to regular APRs apply when operating in the APR mode. All combinations require specific training to use. Supplied air hoods. Powered and supplied air hoods provide loose-fitting, lightweight respiratory protection that can be worn with glasses, facial hair, and beards, figure 26.10. Hospitals, emergency rooms, and other organizations use these hoods as an alternative to other respirators, in part, because they require no fit testing and are simple to use. Respiratory equipment limitations. The following are equipment and air supply limitations. Limited visibility, facepieces reduce peripheral vision, and facepiece fogging can reduce overall vision. Decreased ability to communicate, facepieces hinder voice communication. Increased weight, depending on the model, the protective breathing equipment can add 25 to 35 pounds, 12.5 to 17.5 kilograms, of weight to the emergency responder. Decreased mobility, the increase in weight and splinting effect of the harness straps reduce the wearer's mobility. Inadequate oxygen levels, APRs cannot be worn in IDLH or oxygen-deficient atmospheres. Chemical-specific, APRs can only be used to protect against certain chemicals. The specific type of cartridge depends on the chemical to which the wearer is exposed. Psychological stress, Facepieces may cause some users to feel confined or claustrophobic.